Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 371 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Cairo, your host once again. And today, my guest is John Henson. John works with Spotlight Branding, which is a digital marketing agency that focuses primarily on solo and small law firms. And full disclosure, John and Spotlight Branding were my digital marketing agency when I was transitioning my law firm from family law to estate planning. And we've remained good friends ever since. And I wanted to have John back on the program today to talk a little bit about some of the issues revolving around how the marketplace has changed as a result of COVID and what has happened to law firms since then, how that influences their approach to marketing. And then we wanted to revisit some ideas about marketing in general and funnels and all that good stuff. So without any further delay, here is my friend, John Henson. John Henson, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you for having me. You and I go back several years, so I'm glad to be here and chat with you.
Yeah, I'm delighted to have you with us today, John. Just so our audience knows, John and I, as you said, have known each other for a great many years. The company that John works for, Spotlight Branding, was my marketing company when I first started transitioning from family law to estate planning as an attorney. And I enjoyed working with them so much. I had them on the podcast. They actually became a sponsor of the podcast back in the day. And we had a great relationship, still have a good relationship, parted ways in terms of professional connections. But John and I have remained friends for all these many years. And I wanted to have John back on the podcast to talk a little bit about how the world has changed in the past few years and how that affects marketing, and particularly digital marketing in the legal space. So before we get down that path, John, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Right. I started here with Spotlight Branding, going on 8.5 years now. I was just a lowly young grad school graduate, just trying to find a job in a big city, and kind of really stumbled upon, we were called One Marketing at the time, and, worked as a social media manager. And then slowly as the company grew, I grew with it. Now I am the editorial director and I do stuff like this, and it's a pretty fun job, definitely, on the top end of fun things that you can do in the legal industry and in the marketing industry, just being able to do podcasts like this or doing webinars or speaking or just writing articles and really just doing a lot of educating for Spotlight Branding and helping people better understand how to market their firms in a really effective way.
Well, I really appreciate that you use the term educational or education here, because that's one of the things that I always appreciated about Spotlight Branding and the work that you did is that, throughout the entire process of providing support to solo and small firm practitioners, spent a great deal of time educating the public. And, this content marketing, you guys were at the forefront of that. And, attorneys would be, very well advised to kind of follow that lead. And so you've been sharing the knowledge all along as part of your strategy for building the business.
Yeah. And look, I get it, right? You know, we talk a lot about how the legal industry deals with trust issues between themselves and their clients and struggling to build that trust. Like we feel it in the marketing industry. You know, there's a ton of grifters and snake oil salesmen out there, and you know, it sucks, like, and constantly being lumped in with people like that. And so, you know, genuinely, even if people don't work with Spotlight Branding, because look, I'm not in sales, my salespeople don't want to hear me say this, but doesn't affect me if people don't work with us or not. I just want to help people and help people understand, you know, the reality of a lot of things that are going on, especially with their marketing, but just in any of the other kinds of content and information that we're putting out there.
And just so we don't forget, I want to also bring to light the fact that in terms of content, one of the things you produce is your own podcast.
Yes, two podcasts, so actually.
Let's plug those real quick so we don't forget.
Yeah, so yeah, I do two podcasts here with Spotlight Branding. One is the Law Firm Marketing Minute. That's actually a daily podcast now. We've been doing daily episodes now for a couple of months. Short, you know, usually like 10 minutes or less, just covering a quick marketing concept, maybe providing some tips or some inspiration in that regard. The other show, Center Stage, which you have been a guest on, I think last year, or you know, one of the early guests that we had on, but interviewing industry experts like you and others just on some marketing or other business development related stuff. Your episode specifically was around technology and specific apps for productivity and efficiency. And so, you know, just really in that regard, kind of continuing that theme of just providing value and helping educate people any way we can.
It's always good to look back. I frequently review some of the podcasts that I've been lucky enough to be a guest on to see what apps and what services and technology holds up over the course of time. And I recently did a presentation for a local bar association, and I had gone back to look at all my previous presentations that I had done on just that subject, legal technology. And I was pleasantly surprised to find that the tools and resources that I have been using for all these many years still hold water. I mean, still carry the load. There have been some refinements and changes and upgrades and some emerging technologies that weren't there before. Like, the big elephant in the room right now is artificial intelligence. But so I was kind of been pleased by that. So let's just kind of put things in a broad perspective a little bit. What's kind of the focus behind your approach to marketing and to creating awareness of a law firm? What are the kinds of things that law firms need to be paying attention to?
So in terms of what they should be paying attention to, one of the big things that we're really focusing on right now is the concept of a content loop, right? So you talk about marketing in general, you probably heard the term of like a marketing funnel, right? You got the top of your funnel. That's where you're building the awareness. Your leads are pretty cold. They're just finding out about your firm. They kind of go down into the middle. They get warmed up. You know, maybe there's a drip sequence that they're a part of, or some sort of, you know, sequence of contact attempts. And ultimately, ideally, what you want is they get to the bottom of the funnel. They're red hot. They're ready to make a buying decision. And you want them to say yes. And it's very linear a lot of the times. And that's just how marketing has been sort of structured for all of these years. And we realized that, you know, there are a couple of big holes, especially that law firms do. And I've even dealt with this in my own experience working with lawyers as a consumer, where there are two main areas in the funnel where law firms fall short in terms of nurturing or just staying in touch, right? The biggest one is in the middle. You know, you have your people coming into the top of the funnel. Eventually, they'll get down to the bottom of the funnel. But there's not a lot of nurturing, or not enough nurturing, or even not the right kind of nurturing going on in the middle. On the other hand, there's not any nurturing, hardly at all, going on at the end of the funnel, you know, whether someone retains you as a client, you do the work for them and then they go on their merry way, or they say no or not right now. Either way, you still have that person's contact information in your system. There's still value there. They can become a referral source or, depending on your practice area, a source of repeat business. And so many law firms just fail to keep in touch with those people to tap into that gold mine of easy revenue.
I think that's so spot on because, you know, the whole funnel, linear funnel model, which has been around for a long time. And look, it's been very successful for a lot of people. It's produced millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of revenue, for not just in the legal space, but everywhere. There's no question that it's a proven approach. But I agree with you, particularly when it comes to attorneys. We do all that nurturing on the front end to feed the funnel and to get people moving in the right direction. And then once we've kind of tagged them the way we want, we think they should be appropriately tagged, given on what that interaction is, and have defined then what sequence they're going to go through. I think in an effort to promote automation, we lose contact with the potential client. And that funnel may be days or weeks or months long. But if we have no opportunity to reconnect in a personal way in that flow, you're right. That's where people start. Oh, here's another message for John. You know, and I just deleted it. I know what it's going to say, or I know what it's about. I'm part of the email sequence. I don't really have time for it today. I just delete it. And that goes on for weeks until finally, you know, you're at the bottom and you stop getting those email messages. And again, as you said, another opportunity lost when law firms fail to make those connections. So what would you recommend in terms of, I know I have some ideas, but I'm interested in yours. What would you recommend in terms of those intermediate reconnection points?
Yeah, for me and for us, it's really all about kind of enclosing that funnel, or basically turning it from a linear, clear stop and end point into almost just an infinite loop. I mean, that's why we call it a content loop, where you have this systematized ecosystem of easy surface level content. Like, you don't, that's the key thing there too as well. I know that attorneys want to make sure that all of their content is this perfectly polished, well-rounded legal brief covering every if-then scenario and all of that. And it's just got to be this one giant piece. And you don't have to do it that way. You know, keep it surface level with blog articles or you know, videos even. You know, and just create consistent touch points with your audience, even just on a monthly basis, right? You know, you were talking about the initial email sequence for that funnel. Yeah, it's probably going to be 7 to 10 emails over a period of, you know, 2 weeks, 30, 45, 60 days, however long you do it, and then it stops. And eventually you will be forgotten, and, you know, the firm that stays in touch better is the one that usually ends up getting the business, even if you are a better lawyer than that other firm. It's just that concept of staying in touch that ultimately drives people to retain that firm a little bit more. So, you know, even just something as simple as a monthly email newsletter, and you can pair it with the drip sequences that you're doing at the same time. Like, as soon as someone becomes a lead in your system, they're just added to your regular email distributing list. And so one email newsletter a month with valuable content, right? Like, you don't want to just have your email newsletter be a digital billboard that just says, call our office, call our office. Like, no, provide value. Provide some information, you know, really demonstrate that expertise and really demonstrate that you understand what your audience is going through and that you understand what their situation is, because they think that their specific situation is the most unique thing that's ever happened in the legal world, even if it's something that you've dealt with 1,000 times before.
Yeah, And I think that it creates that loop. I have to tell you that when thinking about the funnel, I had kind of reimagined the process. I'm going to get off way off on a tangent here. nobody cares. I remember a graphic that the eighth grade science class, we're talking about how hail is formed, you know, and how this drop of water starts to fall and it hits a freezing zone and it becomes, you know, a little icy, and then it hits an updraft and goes back up to the top of the funnel, and it requires more moisture, and it drops back down through the freezing zone again, and now it's a bigger hailstone, and that keeps happening until the weight of the hailstone overwhelms the force of the updraft carrying it back up through that cycle. I kind of remembered that image when I was doing my marketing funnel. And what I wanted to do was create an updraft or an opportunity to re-energize the process. And I felt that what was lacking there was something that you had mentioned, was a personal contact. I think if you delegate everything to an automated sequence, you kind of just say, it really just becomes a matter of how many potential clients do I get in the top of the funnel. We got a automatic sequence, we'll take care of the rest. I like to program in, if I haven't heard back from that potential client, a free form email message, something that's clearly not part of the sequence, you know, an interrupter, if you will, that kind of cycles them back around. And I also give them an opportunity, hey, we've been discussing or chatting for a couple of messages here. Is this useful to you, or would you rather us not bother you? And I found that worked really, really well in creating that cyclic movement and re-energizing the funnel. So very similar to your content.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, you know, there, whatever CRM or case management platform you're using, you know, I know with what we use internally, which, I mean, obviously we're not a legal company, so we probably use a different platform than most law firms use, but you can automate different triggers, right? Yeah. So like if your system realizes like someone's not opened an email in, you know, 30 days or however long you want to do it, you can find ways to easily automate triggers that can create a task for you to reach out to that person. You know, you come in on a Tuesday morning and maybe you have you have your task management open and you just have a new task. Oh, reach out to Bob. He hasn't opened an email in 30 days, you know, and you can then do what you're saying and send that personal touch.
Yeah.
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby, the number one client communication solution for growing legal practices. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new client intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and can answer in English and Spanish, and a whole lot more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. Ruby can work full-time, part-time, or as a backup, and you can change your instructions anytime with their top-rated mobile app and online dashboard. Plus, Ruby integrates with tools such as Clio, Lexaclara, MyCase, and Rocket Matter. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. In fact, 90% of legal professionals who use Ruby capture more billable hours than the national average, with many recording double or more. That's 5 or more billable hours per day. To experience the Ruby difference for yourself, visit get.ruby.com/ELE. That's get.ruby.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you, powered by Ruby. As
As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top line revenue to bottom line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub, that's O-N-C-E-H-U-B, go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I've been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client. And I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com. And, you know, for a lot of email platforms, you know, bulk email platforms, you know, that's a trigger or a flag or a tag, doesn't matter what they call them. But yeah, you set those flags, those tags, and you can create, you know, logic that, you know, allows you then to address that specific concern in a different way and just keep the engagement on a, you know, as real a basis as you can.
Yeah. And honestly, and one other thing that I just want to point out, you know, even if someone doesn't open an email, there's really no way to know, but there's a pretty good chance that they still saw it and they still saw your firm name. And just even that alone, even if they don't open the email, there's still some value in them seeing your name come in on a regular basis, because you're still occupying a small piece of real estate in their mind, so that maybe they don't need you right now, but just being able to consistently show up in front of them, that means, you know, and they're not unsubscribing, they're not removing themselves from your list. So, you know, you're still able to be in front of them and still be able to tap into them if and when they ever need you. I mean, look, you know, I have a story that I like to tell from one of our clients. He met this guy on an airplane and they got to talking, exchanged information. This dude was on his email list for 3 years and then finally reached out to him and was like, "Hey, I don't know if you remember me. We sat together on a plane. I'm about to start a business and I think you're the attorney that I want to work with." It's 3 years, right? Yeah. And so there's still value in just that consistent loop that I was talking about, and just creating some ongoing touch points that keep you in front of people and keep you top of mind.
One of the fellows that I follow is an author by the name of James Clear, very well-known author. He wrote the book Atomic Habits, one of the great business books. It was self-development, really, books, but can be applied to business. Ever written. He has a spectacular newsletter that goes out. So once you get on his email list and you opt into that, you know, his newsletter is really great. And one of the things that I've noticed about his newsletters, you know, a lot of people will have like a graphic at the top of their newsletter, and then the content falls below that graphic. Well, when the email pops up in your email client, oftentimes all you see is the graphic. You don't see the content below it.
Yeah.
You see who it's from, and oh yeah, it's John. He's pinging me again. It's part of his monthly email newsletter. Again, don't have time for it. Click. I'll catch him next time. What I noticed with James's newsletter is he puts the content up front, kind of bulleted items. So even if I don't read the whole message, I get a sense of what he's talking about or what's important in this one. I thought that was, I've been meaning to reach out to him to ask if that is by design. I'm pretty much guessing that it is. And I think it's a lesson maybe we all ought to think about a little bit.
Absolutely. And honestly, you know, one thing that you can do to even get out more in front of that is utilize your subject line in a really smart way, right? You know, don't waste your subject line on Smith Law newsletter, right? Like, have a subject line that really pertains to the core of the content that you're sharing in that newsletter. And so that way people can, you know, maybe even make that decision, like to your point sooner, where it's like, you know, I mean, you did estate planning a lot, right? So maybe the subject of your newsletter is dealing with a specific kind of trust. Maybe the person on the list isn't ready for that yet. And so that newsletter for that month just wasn't applicable to them. But like I said, they're still seeing your name show up. They're, you know, you're still occupying a piece of real estate in their head. And you're still, you know, providing value, even if it's not 100% applicable 100% of the time.
Well, I want to pivot here for a moment, John, and talk a little bit about how the world's changed a bit. You know, when you and I were working together, you know, it was pre-COVID, and the world looked pretty different than it does these days from a business perspective, and particularly with respect to law firms. And I want to touch base a little bit on what, if anything, you've seen has changed in the marketing world for law firms as a result of the changes that law firms just experienced due to COVID and due to the pandemic.
Oh, if we only knew how easy we had it back in the before times of the pandemic. But no, I think for me, one of the bigger things that I've seen is an increased shift. We were already seeing it a little bit before the pandemic, but really more so now is that, one, people really, really, really want to feel like they are working with the preeminent expert. And there are different ways that you can do that. I know with bar rules, you can't explicitly call yourself an expert. So how do you do that? How do you make people feel like you are that expert and you are the right choice for them? It is in the content that you're creating. It's in those blogs. If you have a podcast, it's sharing those episodes. It's having a consistent social media presence where you're explaining that value. But paired with that, the other thing that we're seeing a bigger increase in is the use of video. And, you know, the obvious sort of place where that's showing up a lot is on social media, whether it's Instagram Reels or even TikTok or whatever the next version, iteration, or application of TikTok, if and when it gets banned. That's still the direction that content consumption is going. People are just consuming a lot of short form video content. So whether you're doing it on YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, TikTok, you have a video library on your website of you addressing frequently asked questions. That's where a lot of value and a lot of really effective marketing is taking place right now, even more so than before the pandemic started.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think before COVID, that we were, as you said, trending in the direction video content marketing was becoming more and more important. But for most people, that meant that they were producing videos for use on their website. And the idea was, or the premise was, that the end user is sitting at a computer somewhere and has an opportunity to view their website and maybe watch the videos on the website. And that's how I'm going to get across that I'm an expert in the field, or that's how I'm going to get across the content that I want to market. I think what's changed as a result of COVID is you can't guarantee that person sitting at a computer in their office. In fact, you can guarantee most likely there are lots of other places. They're on their tablet, they're on their phone, they're in the car, you know, they're moving around. Yeah. They're any place but the office. And so your video content has to be accessible there. And appreciate you mentioning, you know, short form videos, the Instagrams and the Facebook Reels and the TikToks of the world.
Yeah.
Because people don't have 30 minutes to sit down to watch your YouTube episode. It's interesting as that might have been on your website. And so that's where you need to be spending and showcasing your video content.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, if you still want to do those long form episodes like that, turn that into a podcast, right? Because that is where that content, that's the direction that content is going. You know, the attention spans, the attention spans on mobile or even on desktops, you know, still are getting shorter and shorter and shorter, whether that's with blog articles or video. And so, you know, even just traffic, web traffic in general is shifting more and more to mobile. So even if it's your website or whatever content you're putting out, you got to make sure that it's even mobile optimized so that it's giving a good user experience on mobile as well as the people who are still, you know, viewing it on desktop.
Yeah, I just kind of assume most people know that your website has to be optimized for mobile platforms, whether your phone or your tablet. But I'm also trying to address the hesitancy of a lot of attorneys. They're saying, I'm not going to do Instagram. I'm not a teenager. I'm not going to do, you know, TikTok. I don't have any dance moves to show off. And point of fact, that's where people are spending their time. Just like when I said, I'm not going to be part of Twitter, when Twitter was, you know, ramping up like crazy. If you're not, somebody else is.
Right. But also, like, you don't have to do, you know, silly dances or lip sync to a song or something, you know, like, and honestly, like, the fastest growing demographic on TikTok right now is Gen X and the younger boomers out there. Like, it's not just an app for teenagers anymore. There are so many different things that you can do on there. So many different, you know, sort of rabbit holes that you can go down. You know, it's not just people dancing or singing anymore. Like, there are people teaching you how to cook. There are people teaching you how to fix things. And there are law firms right now sharing, you know, information and what to do in this situation or what you can expect to happen in this situation or like who's at fault here or there, you know, stuff like that. And they're building a following there. And they're building up that expert status that people are trusting more and more and more.
And look, it might be a good opportunity for us as attorneys to loosen the tie a little bit and have a little fun. I knew there was something to this when all the guitar teachers that I follow on YouTube, when I started seeing them take the videos that they're posting on a regular basis, cutting them up and doing Instagram shorts and Facebook reels of the material I just seen on their YouTube channel. So they're not doing it just for fun. They're doing it to broaden their audience, and they're doing it because it works.
Yeah. And that's just where their audience has gone to. You know, it's like 30, 40 years ago, a law firm buys a billboard on a busy stretch of highway. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, a new road gets built. More cars are going down the new road. So what do? You move your billboard over to where the more cars are showing up. You know, it's the same message, but it's in a different place because that's where the majority of your audience is going now.
Is there any life left in things like print marketing, advertising, or is it all digital all the time now?
It is mostly digital. I can tell you, you know, the criminal defense or the personal injury firms probably still can get the most value out of print just based on the urgency and the nature of the urgency of the things that they do in terms of, like, you know, people getting traffic tickets or people getting into car accidents and potentially needing a lawyer relatively quickly. For other practice areas, I would say that it shouldn't be a foundational piece. I think it could be one of those things that you could explore, you know, later on, you know, once you've grown a little bit more, once you have, you know, some more marketing budget to play with. But I still think the vast majority of your success will come from some form of digital marketing. Yeah.
I saw a throwback marketing thing not too long ago, which really caught my eye. And it was an elder law attorney who had an ad placard that was on the shopping cart in their local grocery store. I thought, well, that's really kind of a, like, as I said, a throwback to the old days, advertising on the side of a bus or billboard or something. But I thought, well, that's exactly the market this elder law attorney is looking for. People are shopping and they're thinking about, dad wandering out of the house while they're doing the grocery shopping. I thought that was pretty smart. So, like you said, I don't think it's the forefront of the marketing world anymore, but there is still a little bit of opportunity if you can find the right moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And even then, I would still argue that, like, and granted, he may have already been doing this, but find out where those kinds of people are hanging out, and maybe, and to your point, maybe his audience was more the children of those elderly parents.
Yeah, it was the sandwich market, the sandwich generation.
Yeah, exactly. And so, it's still finding the places where those people are hanging out, maybe reach out to local churches and figure out a way to, do a little seminar just about, shoring up your estate plan and, what might need to happen if you need to go into a nursing home or whatever the case might be in that regard. But, look, if you've got the budget, the extra budget for it, it never hurts to test and experiment with things like that, but I would definitely not have it be a foundational core element of the marketing strategy.
Right. Well, listen, John, it's always a delight chatting with you. I mean, I've always enjoyed our conversation. Still do today. Remind our audience one more time about podcasts that you're involved in and how they can contact you and Spotlight Branding if they want to follow up on anything we had to offer.
Absolutely. So you can check out the Law Firm Marketing Minute or Center Stage. It's available wherever you're consuming your podcasts. Also, if you're interested in just learning more about what we do at Spotlight Branding and interested in a lot of the content that we're putting out and the educational stuff that we're putting out, go check out spotlightbranding.com and head over to our media site. It's called Spotlight Insider. The link is right there on the homepage. And there's content going up there every single day. It's articles, videos, podcast episodes, covering not just marketing topics. We cover some tech. We cover even some mental health, personal development and topics, strategy, money and metrics, all that kind of stuff, just as a way to help help you build your firm, do things more efficiently, get new ideas, and just really help you develop in any way we can. So you can go over to spotlightbranding.com to check all that out.
And to take care of yourself. I know that's a component of what you offer. So really appreciate that, John. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur, and I look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me today.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them, and I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client, and then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So, very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.